G'day and welcome to episode 94 of the Oceanic Gaming Radio Podcast. My name is Captain Perth, coming to you, recording this live from Perth, Western Australia on the 27th of the 5th, 2024, alongside my good compadre, friend, brother, you know, legend, Grizzly Gaming 86. How you go, mate?
Howdy, Capo. I'm good. You know what's funny? One thing I've noticed, Cap, since we've gone to fortnightly episodes, every second time I see you, you've got a new haircut because I reckon you must be once a month. So I'm like, always. The second episode, it's like, hey, you've had a haircut.
That's funny because if you asked me how often you get your haircut, I'd be like, man, like fucking every 2-3 months, maybe. But I probably get it more than that, eh?
No, I guess. I'm once a month. I'm actually due one right now, which is why I'm wearing a hat. Got to be presentable for the OGR Twitch viewers, Cap.
Yeah, well, I had a engagement party on the weekend, so I had to look a little bit trim. So,
nice.
You know,
Did you get suited, mate? Get suited up?
No, it was really fairly casual. It was at a wine bar, so it wasn't. It was like fairly cash. So I wore like some chinos, you know, kind of boots, nice boots, but kind of like a polo kind of style thing. So it was nice, mate. But mate, normally we start with your weekend, but I think we're just going to go with mine.
Yeah, that's good. Let's change it around, mate. What happened? What have you been up to? Give me the couple of weeks, mate. What's happened in the couple of weeks? I haven't spoken to you for a while.
So the week just gone, because I'm going to have to try and remember what happened in the week previous to that, but the week just gone, we had one of my best mates, Cal, Sleepy Scene, he just had his engagement party. So went over there. Mum and Dad looked after Ted for the night, so me and Mia had a free pass, and boy, did I get pissed.
Did you?
Ooh. Seriously pissed, really pissed.
Seltzers?
I had gin and sodas all night, pretty much.
Shit. Yeah, so still
no
beer.
Engaging in the year of the no beer without fault yet. So almost halfway through the year cycle, that's a pretty good slog.
Cap, was it hard when you were drunk to not do the thing, you know? Was it difficult?
No, it wasn't actually. I'm just kind of in the swing of it now, you know? It doesn't bother me. I mean, I'd love to have a beer, don't get me wrong, but, you know, my end goal is to lose weight, so I'm kind of in the swing of it, and it's fine. You know, you just kind of get on with it. So so that was easy enough. But so that was Saturday. And then Sunday, what did we do? Went to a first birthday party. That was great. Ted was just a complete maniac and had to leave early because I just felt bad. I was like, I'm going to get out of here. He's about to start inflicting pain, significant pain.
When you say you're a maniac, what's he doing, Cap? Is he just like...
Man, he's the kid that he's got so much energy. Like all the other, even boys his age, like they are fairly, they're running around, a lot of energy, yada, yada.
I feel like Charlie's very chilled, mate, like as in Pete's Charlie is quite
There was a few other boys there and they were way more, well, Ted was like, it was the next level. And you know when you kind of like, well, I don't really give a shit about this normally, but when you're in an enclosed space at someone else's house and, you kind of feel the eyes on you as a parent a little bit. Oh. And you're like, look, I know he's throwing ice everywhere. I'm working on it. You know, I know he's just done a bommie on the brand new fucking tent that Adam's just bought and he's broken the fucking tent peg. I know, it's just shit like that. I'm just going. And then, you know, he was starting to get a little, like, you know, the kids were all pushing each other and stuff and Ted was starting to get a bit shitty and he went to bite one of the kids and I just went, all right, we're fucking out of here. See you later. I had enough. It wasn't even he had had enough. I was like, I've had enough of stopping you from doing all this shit. So I was like, I'm over it. We're going.
So nice, dude. Nice.
But, so did that and then what else? That was about it, really. Had me as parents over that night. And and then the week before, mate, I'm trying to think what I did, but I don't think there was an awful lot from memory. I actually think that was a fairly quiet week for us, so not much.
A little bit of video gaming, Cap, which we'll get to later.
Which we'll get to. And, there's been a fair bit of video gaming, actually, which has been, you know, new for me. But I've been really enjoying my gaming at the moment. But, we'll save that for probably actually the first story. I think we might break that one out. But,
So that's good, mate.
But, mate, tell me about you. What's new?
Lots, Capo, lots. So we had Ada's sleepover. One of my daughters turned 7. So last year, Cap, around her birthday, she actually had COVID. So,
I remember that.
And then we went to have it again, and the place that we had it at was like at a bounce place, and they cancelled the booking. So she didn't get a birthday. So this year we gave her 2 birthdays. So she had a sleepover. My wife organised like this woman to come over and set up physical little teepees for them all with blankets and pillows. So we had 7 teepees all set up with lights and everything else in there. And
it's so sick.
It was pretty hectic, dude. Like,
did you take some photos?
Some photos. I'll send you through. Like, this woman is amazing at what she does. Like,
they get
like little face masks and lollies and like lights all through there.
That is so
cute.
Yeah, I love that.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So we had that. They didn't go to sleep till like 12:30. 7-year-old up till 12:30. They're in there talking away. So
fuck me.
Yeah. And then the next morning, we had booked for her to go to bounce again because she missed it last year. So obviously, trying to get them all out of the house to go bouncing was like everyone's shattered, including us. But
that's so funny.
Yeah, look, they had a great time. Really good time. And then that night I played a gig at a new venue, Cap, called Brewdog, which I think I may have told you about, but I don't know where it's come from. I'm pretty sure it's like an Eastern chain of brewery that do a bunch of beers. Have you had any of the Brewdog beers, Cap?
Look, I haven't. I thought they were US.
They could be US. Maybe they are.
This is saying that they're not. This is, hang on. Brewdog.com. Mm. Yeah, you keep talking. I'll see if I can figure out exactly where they are.
Yeah, so they brew all their own beers and they get some guest beers in there. I tried a few of them on tap. The manager was a fucking legend. Gave us like food and stuff, and he really enjoyed our music, which was great in there. We went really well. So the gig is like early. We're used to playing these shows where you finish at like 1 a.m., kind of 2 a.m. get home, but this is a 6 till 9 on a Saturday, so perfect. So I really enjoyed it. But I tried their ginger beer as well as one of their really strong. I would almost say that it's similar, Cap, to a really strong beer in the cans, the white can that's quite popular.
Jesus.
There's another one. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Biggie Juice.
It was like Biggie Juice on tap. It was
like a hazy IPA kind of thing.
Hazy IPA, quite fruity, but quite delicious. Anyway, they did great burgers and stuff in there. We should organise to go.
Yeah, and also Brewdog's from Scotland, just FYI.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go, mate.
There you go. But there's a lot of chains. They got a lot. They've changed now.
They changed.
But yeah, their flagship was there.
Now, Cap, one thing I did want to bring up, mate, which I haven't spoken to you about yet, on the Sunday, I went to see a Perth medium by the name of Anthony Griselka. So my wife is quite spiritual, into the spooky stuff, you know, and we went to go see Anthony Griselka. He's quite well known, Cap. He worked on the Claremont serial killings and a bunch of other... He's that guy.
Whoa.
So his whole thing is that he can actually communicate with the spirits of the dead and pass their messages on to the living, kind of thing. And he does that live in the room, literally does it in front
of
you, and just like picks out, says, "Oh yeah, there's somewhere here. I had 2 drownings somewhere," and he found the 2 people in their family and says their names and like how they drowned. And then would go on to say messages from those people. Anyway, it was wild, dude. Like, it was just really
confronting, I imagine.
Yeah, pretty confronting. And he does say at the very start of it, he's like, "Look, if you have any skeletons in your closet, they may come out today. Feel free just to stop me and say you don't want to talk about it, and we can talk about it after, or we don't have to talk about it at all." He kind of says that, like, you know, like, that thing's kind of hidden. I'm just going to say it the way it is. He definitely did some of that. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, I found it really interesting. As someone who's got a science degree, I'm not religious. I'm not spiritual. In fact, I was like trying to find ways to poke holes in his like things. Yeah. But man, he spoke to my mother-in-law on one thing, and it's like there's just no way you can poke holes in it. He knows stuff that no one has ever told anyone. He just knows things.
It's just
wild, dude. It was... pretty cool. So yeah, definitely. I don't know if people are into that kind of thing, but he does shows around Perth and other bits and pieces. You just sit there and he'll just call people out of the room and talk to them.
So
and,
is that where – was that a show you went to?
Yeah, there was a convention at Crown for spirituality convention or something they had on. They had like a bunch of tarot readers and other things. You could go and buy crystals and all that kind of stuff. And then
that's kind of cool.
Part of that was this presentation that this bloke did. So
yeah, I think I'm the same as you, Chris. Like, you know, I'd never go and do it myself, but like if you know, my missus was like, let's go and have a look. And I'd be like, yeah, all right, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah, that was me.
But yeah, I'd be the whole time being on fucking watching like, you just fuck up once, mate, I got you.
It's totally not suitable for this podcast, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But Kat, do remind me to tell you some stories from this.
Yeah,
and,
easy.
And bits and
we'll
pieces.
Do.
Sick. It's wild. Anyway, that was my weekend, Kat. All in all, I'm feeling very tired and another full weekend. So I'm looking forward to getting some rest during the work week this week, mate. And then
I bet you're a bit snackered, mate. Like, yeah, kind of late night into gig into, you know, fairly emotional day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hectic. Full on, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, mate. Well, I'm glad you had a ripper, though. What about the week before? Did you get up to much?
Man, I cannot even remember. Feels like such a long time ago. Definitely had a gig on, and I definitely played some video games, which we'll talk about when we
get
there.
Yeah, brother. So. Love it. Sick. Well, let's fucking start getting there. Firstly, as always, just want to say a big thank you to our wonderful listeners, whether you're listening in your own time after we've recorded this live. You know, if you want to do that, you can do so by going to ogr.show and just follow the links to your favorite podcasting platform. Got the whole lot there, mate. Take your pick, take your flavor, you know, whatever you like. Otherwise, if you want to watch this live, you can do so by going to twitch.tv/oceanicgamingradio, and we go live every second Monday, 7 p.m. Australian West Standard Time. Okay, so get your bloody ears around that one. Now, other than that, just want to say a big thank you to our wonderful Patreons. They're the legends that keep coming out every bloody week, well, month, and just dropping spondoolies in the pocket. It's very much appreciated, and it goes straight into keeping all of these. You know, we've got this really nice new bloody podcast recording thing that does nice edits and quality shit. It's great. So you guys are really helping with that. So really appreciate it. And when we get our, you know, shit together every couple of weeks, we sometimes put out little reels that we get edited up. So, you know, this, it goes a long way, so we appreciate it. If you want to join those people, you can go to patreon.com/OGRshow, and you too can be spending some cashola. But yeah, so there you go. But Grizz, let's freaking dive in, baby.
Let's do it,
big old freaking quest log. So, I mean, straight from the top, baby, we had a shadow drop of the Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree story trailer. And boy, it was pretty sexy. Did you end up watching it, mate?
I did. Watched it a couple of times. And then I was like, I watched it about three times. And I was like, I still don't understand what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, it's like I knew you wouldn't.
From software. So I went and tried to like read some stuff to figure out what was happening. But maybe let's just rely on you, Cap. What's happening, mate? Tell me.
Fucking oath. Well, look, we'll just kind of start from the top. I guess the imagery and the trailer itself is very reminiscent of the, I think, the first trailer that we got from Elden Ring. I think you had kind of, you know, one of the main kind of overarching characters. They're kind of clanging on some, you know, anvil, trying to make something, and then they're breaking it apart and they're cursed and this is happening and that's happening. And this is kind of follows a very similar kind of vein, and it actually follows the same main character in that first trailer, Marika, who is kind of this, you know, overarching god deity figure that you don't see till the very end of Elden Ring, the game. And it seems like this story trailer, we kind of knew that this would probably follow not quite the events of the, you know, of what's happened before the game Elden Ring, but a lot of the stuff that you're going to be exploring in this new world, the Realm of Shadow or whatever, it's kind of a little time capsule of what happened before, kind of, I guess, the Elden Ring was a thing, you know, before the Erdtree was a thing, this big golden tree that overarches the lands between and stuff. So this trailer kind of shows us, you know, a war, which is a common theme in Elden Ring, and it kind of it implies that, you know, these wars are being used to maybe fuel something, and it seems like there's betrayal, and we kind of in the original game, we kind of got an inkling that maybe the gods weren't as godly as it seemed, and this kind of trailer kind of makes it seem as if that is definitely the case at this stage. So, yeah, look, there's obviously a lot of things. There's a hand that goes into a body that pulls out a, you know, what looks like it's part of the Elden Ring or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's this big kind of chasm of dead arms reaching out to Marika holding up what looks like to be maybe the beginning of the Elden Ring.
Love that.
But, yeah, there's some pretty cool imagery in here.
Someone's written that it's the arm of Mikola, brother of Melania, hangs from the cocoon in the arena where you fight Moog, which, I don't know, whether you kind of thought that maybe that's what that is. But that kind of backs up the fact that that's maybe where you enter the DLC, which is apparently that egg where you fight.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think so there's another character that gets alluded to called the Glow-Eyed Queen, and I think that might be I think Marika basically betrayed another god and basically took the power for herself, created the Erd Tree, and a lot of that was done through horrific amounts of war and death. And I think the whole kind of thing behind this entire DLC is going to be that the Erd Tree is basically an illusion, and underneath it all is just death and decay, and that's what that big chasm of dead arms hanging out is. It's going to be something along those lines. She's generated this illusion, but I think there's also going to probably be another spin on it with, you know, why did Marika want to do this? And it seems like in the base game that she became disarrayed with whoever was trying to push her down this path as well. So, but yeah, on top of that,
just on this new NPC, Kat, apparently she was also cited in the very first Elden Ring trailer, which someone picked up. But seems to be, is it a feminine knight with long braided hair? She has a helmet cradled on the left arm, and you see kind of like intricate gold stuff kind of over her white flowing kind of armor. There's some people saying that potentially this could be Saint Trina, which is the Knight of Sleep, which is in a bunch of item lore around different sleep items that cause sleep, including the darts and a couple of the swords and other bits and pieces that are in there.
There's some allusion in the original game as well that suggests that Mikola is actually just Saint Trina, so there's kind of that extra step here that's like, oh my, well, is that Mikola? Is it Saint Trina actually just someone else? So, you know, there's so many threads that are going to run through this game in terms of like, I think people were worried that they wouldn't explore these things because quite often From Software will leave some things just unsaid, essentially, but they're really going hard on exploring some things. I mean, towards the end of that story trailer, is there's kind of an image of someone falling downwards. And if you look at the figure of the body falling backwards and you compare it to the shape of the in-game icon or art of Saint Trina's Lily, which is a collectible kind of flower you can find in the game, the shape of the lily is the exact same shape as that character falling. So it's just the amount of work that goes into making these trailers and just like the imagery, and it's now, out of fucking control.
Now, Cap, I can't remember who it was, but some famous author helped piece together the lore in this
George
game. George R. R. Martin. So you would expect it to be quite in-depth. And one thing that the From Software and Souls games, they just don't hold your hand in the lore perspective. I would say maybe Sekiro was reasonably linear and easier to understand, but the Souls games,
even then
it was pretty bizarre. You're looking at item descriptions and other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But look, I've always been someone who doesn't really care about the lore. I did do a massive deep dive once. There's a YouTube guy, his name's Vardy Vida, who kind of like, he breaks it all down into easy to understand. But apparently, Kat, there's a few people that feel the same way as me. A couple of YouTube comments here. A guy's gone, understanding of what's going on, 0%. Hype, 100%. Story trailer, completely indecipherable, we are so back from software. So people obviously really excited to jump back into Elden Ring DLC, even though they have no idea what the fuck is going on in the story trailer.
But that's the great thing about Elden Ring. Like, if you want to just experience the game for the challenge that it is, right, and be immersed in, like, this kind of bizarre, like, grim, dark fantasy kind of very little information story, but, you know, an incredible, well put together, you know, piece of games media, like, you can. But then if you want to scratch the surface, like, you can find, you know, I think every From Software and Souls game specifically has this element of just, like, pure just untouched, untapped, just amazing narrative that is there to be explored, but then also theorized and extended by yourself. Mm. And I think that's the best part about the game and what it puts on the table is, you know, it doesn't give you anything on a silver plate, but it gives you lots of little threads to follow and maybe tie your own knots together and, you know, come up with your own interpretation. And that's the best part about it.
Absolutely. And just in that, there's they've always done it where some of the storytelling through NPC interactions are really obscure. Like,
big time.
Like, you need to go to a certain area and do this certain thing and then go back to a previous area and do a certain thing and then jump forward. And there's different ways that, and if you don't do those things, you could literally just lose that whole NPC interaction, that storytelling throughout the game. So they've always
Even just like the environmental storytelling grids, you know, just like, you know, the placement of where you find items is often very important. Even just the way that, you know, what they put in an environment is very considered and meant to imply certain things about the environment that you're in, or maybe the events that led to that environment being in the way that you find it. You know, just little things, you know, some of the illusionary walls, like there's stuff around why they're there. You know what I mean? Like, what are they hiding? Like, why were they hiding that stuff behind an illusionary wall as well? Like, it's just these layers that go beyond the kind of wave it away is just like classic kind of gaming kind of whatever. Everything's very intricate and thought out by these developers. And it's just such a pleasure to be able to enjoy these games, you know, like, it really is, whether you enjoy the lore or you don't, like, it's fucking phenomenal, and I fucking cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm very excited
to get into this, mate.
The story later, Cap. God, we've got to talk about whether we're excited about Elden Ring later, mate. It comes later. Cap, a couple of things that we do know, confirming, and there's a couple of things that we don't know, but we can kind of assume. One of those is the game length. So you linked a story there where it still seems a little bit up in the air exactly how long the DLC is going to be, but we do know, Cap, that there is a soundtrack of 30 songs in the game. And to put that into perspective, I think Elden Ring had 67.
Yeah, so people are kind of using the comparison of the soundtrack to give you a rough idea maybe of how long the game might be. I don't know if it's going to be perfect. I still think, like, if just say Elden Ring's a 100-hour game, I still reckon we're probably going to get 30 to 40 hours worth of gameplay from this DLC. I don't think we'll get, like, half the amount. But, I mean, you know, if you think, I mean, that's probably roughly, you know, 30 divided by 67 is probably, you know, 30 to 40 hours worth of game if you use that same metric. So, I mean, maybe it's pretty close. But I also think the other thing to think about is, like, the DLC will probably reuse some music. It will also probably be heavily weighed towards the bosses as well, I would think, again, they're going to be probably reutilizing some of that music across certain areas and encounters and whatnot. So, but regardless, man, I mean, it's such an interesting way to kind of try and roughly estimate, because Miyazaki, the lead, the game design lead and game director of From Software, he's kind of said, look, you know, you're going to get like 20 hours or something, and he's known for being notoriously understated in these. You know, I think he said Elden Ring was going to be like a 30-hour game. And it's like, mate, shut the fuck up.
It's 100 hours at least, mate. You know, my second playthrough is going to be 100 hours, Cap. I'm fucking 40 hours in, mate, and I'm not even in the Grand Plateau place yet. So,
Yeah,
look, I agree. Cap, I also wonder, because we have kind of heard unofficially that he's said, Miyazaki has said, it's probably slightly larger than Limgrave. But then I do wonder about, like, verticality and, you know, how we've got, like, the river that you know, and dungeons and all that kind of bit. Like, how do you calculate that into a size when you think of how much content sits under Elden Ring?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we previously had some suggestions that maybe the game is somewhere comparable to the initial area Limgrave, but then, like you said, there was kind of some reports of significant verticality in the region. It's like, okay, well, are we getting like three Limgraves on top of one another? Like, how does that look? I think it's just started pissing down rain here, by the way, but
Dude, we've had some rain too. Cap, I've got a couple of questions for you here.
I want to answer
that
them.
I'll fire at you, mate. A long time ago, we discussed some potential cut content around this Dreamscape world, and I'm kind of seeing some little ties here with what we're hearing about. One of those being this Trina character and her being tied to dreams and items relating to sleep and sleeping. Also, with the DLC, we know that the place is called Land of the Shadow. Do you think there's anything in this around that potential, using that idea around that potential dreamscape world?
I'm not too sure. I think because initially they had some things where it seemed like you would have drank a potion or something that would have induced sleep and maybe you went and fought bosses or something. But I do wonder, thinking about that in retrospect, whether maybe that's what the prisons became in the base game, and maybe it kind of, you know, they kind of just abandoned that idea and instead did it like that. But, I mean, having a character that's so closely tied to sleep, I'm sure there's probably going to be some kind of implication. We might even find that maybe some of the bosses are locked in some kind of sleep in that area, thanks to Saint Trina. It seems like we're going to be interacting with a set of new NPCs in the trailer we get, you know, obviously, you know, who we believe is Saint Trina. And there's a few other NPCs that seem to be following the footsteps of Mikula, Mikula being one of the, you know, gods, godspawn of Marika, you know, the overarching goddess. So it seems, I guess basically my answer is, I mean, I don't know. Based on what I've seen, I don't think they're going to lean too heavily into it. But, I mean, it's going to be really fucking cool anyway. Because, like, I guess the other thing, Grizz, is we know that the boss difficulties won't scale. They're going to be, there's going to be like an extra system that will, as you kill more bosses, you gain more attack power against other bosses in the Land of Shadow.
Is that kind of how, I feel like that's kind of how Sekiro kind of works, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
it's exactly how Sekiro works. So it's a little bit of a different system to ensure that people don't get over-leveled and just kind of breeze through the DLC. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, Chris, because
I can totally hear that rain when you talk to Cafe. It sounds like it's pissing down there, mate.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking bucketing, so I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's going to be a little bit noisy.
The other one I wanted to bring up, at the end of the trailer there seems to be some imagery at the end around quite a few friendly NPCs that you can see. Well, I assume they're friendly. Some that we haven't met. And I guess an observation of mine, I feel like the Souls universes as a whole are quite lonely places, and you might have these little areas where there'll be a few NPCs, but by the end of the game, usually most of those are gone and maybe you're left with a couple that are kind of there, and Elden Ring kind of goes that way too. But I wonder whether this will actually be a little bit different in that respect. Will we actually see a little bit more camaraderie between some of these kind of...
Well, it's quite interesting because, I mean, Miyazaki's renowned for being a big fan of a manga series called Berserk, which there's a lot of significant iconography and, you know, what appears to be direct inspirations for a lot of the key art and weapons and enemies and blah, blah, blah. One of the main characters in Berserk is a character called Griffith, who becomes basically the big bad guy, but is Guts is the protagonist's kind of like best mate, essentially.
Yeah, right,
and it seems like Mikula might be kind of like the Griffith you know, parallel in this game. And so it's interesting because if all these characters are following Mikla, it's kind of like there's another kind of level of this where there's a group of characters called the Band of Hawks in the manga, and it seems like maybe there might be kind of a parallel and, you know, kind of symbology of them representing those characters, and those characters get fucking decimated in the manga. So if that's what's going to happen, it's going to be a bit fucking rough.
It's always a bit brutal. Well, I mean, in Souls games, you see the same thing, right? Well, it depends how you play out there, some of the NPC stories, but yeah, some of them are quite grim and fucked up as well, even through Elden Ring.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Elden Ring, the Dark Souls games, they all kind of skirt the boundary of, you know, no one really wins ever. Like, no one has a good outcome. Even the protagonist often is either delaying the inevitable, kind of making things okay for a very small subset of people, or maybe just doing things against other people's wills. Quite often, there's no actual free will or sense of actual achievement in the story. It tends to be just essentially grimdark, apocalyptic.
It is absolutely. Everyone's so, suffering, mate. Everyone's just completely suffering.
Exactly.
Cap, there was a tweet from Software where they talked. They said, "Fearsome foes, unfathomable power awaits you in the realm of shadow." And alongside this tweet, they had a picture. I was hoping you could talk me through kind of what it means. What do we see in the picture? It's a bit fucked up. It's hard to explain exactly what we're looking at.
It's basically what we think is probably some kind of boss enemy. People are theorizing that it might be one of the other gods, Godwin. I don't think so. But essentially what we're seeing is we see a bunch of enemies in the base game that are called Omen, and they tend to have these weird curved horns, and they're just kind of a little bit grotesque and kind of monstrous, but also, I guess, almost mutated. And this character seems to have the same mutated horn kind of thing going on. And I think this character is going to be another similar kind of character in that line. In terms of the weapons and stuff, I got these weird blades, but it almost, like, there's some people on Twitter and whatnot saying that this character is kind of, I mean, because they are leaning downwards and kind of walking forwards in a really weird way, and it kind of resembles like a uterus, and there's something going on in that kind of thing. There's all these weird symbols going on here, but I think ultimately this character, it seems like, again, as part of the DLC, we're kind of finding out why these Omen, because in the base game, they're basically shunned. They're kept underneath the main city. If anyone has a child, like, basically all these children were born with horns and...
Kappa Omen, those big guys underneath the capital, the black with all the horns and fucking massive big dudes with big axes that swing at you.
Moog is an Omen. The other one, I can't remember what his name is, Morgott. So they're all Omens, but the thing is, when you're born an Omen, you're basically shunned by, you know, the Erd Tree and everything else. So, but it's kind of like, well, why are they shunned? And it seems like maybe part of this DLC is going to be exploring the whole idea of something being hidden in the Land of Shadow, and these guys may have their kind of origins in that Land of Shadow, which is being hidden. So basically, long roundabout way is that this character probably represents, I guess, that thread being followed in this DLC as part of a story, so which I'm looking forward to. But the Omens just suck as bosses. They're pains in the ass.
Even those enemies suck, dude. They hit so hard.
They're so strong.
I have found out that they bleed a lot, by the way, so they're actually not bad. But I remember my first playthrough in a magic build. I don't know how you found them, but when I was using the Moonveil down there and magic against them, they weren't particularly fun because they're so quick as well. They just come at you.
I haven't been I've been using maybe we'll just dive straight into our playthroughs recently, but basically we'll wind this one up. The trailer looks fucking sick. I can't freaking wait. It comes out on the 21st of June, which is, so the 21st is a Friday. So yeah, we're not too far off. Looks freaking good. It also, I guess the other thing to say, Grizz, is we're probably going to get some more kind of mini reveals between now and that date. They've revealed an NPC. They've revealed a boss enemy. They've also dropped another obviously this trailer, this story trailer. So if you are interested in all this stuff, keep an eye on the Bandai Namco and From Software and Elden Ring Twitters. It seems that that's where they're dropping these bad boys. But, yeah, expect more reveals, I guess, in the lead up to the big release date. But let's kind of, I mean, let's just do our how's your gaming going here, Grizz, because I think this is as good a time as any to, you know, to kind of jump in. Grizz, I don't know. How's your gaming been going, my friend?
Well, I'm going to start with Elden Ring, Kat. I've been playing quite a lot of Elden Ring, working my way through. Like I said, I've got about 45 hours in this new playthrough. Now, first things first, Kat, I'm glad that I waited to play it on PC because it looks beautiful on my PC. I'm really enjoying playing through it. I've got myself a new pair of headphones as well, new SteelSeries headphones, and the audio is fantastic as well. So really enjoying that. I'm level 97, Cap, and I'm playing a arcane build. So essentially arcane, kind of what that does is it it increases status effects like bleed and frost and what's that other rotten one, Cap? What's it called?
Scarlet Rot.
Scarlet Rot, yeah. So any items that have that on it, it'll increase the build-up and the damage it deals. So I'm playing a bleed build, and I've kind of dipped into a bit of faith and dex as well using the dragon incantations on that. So there's a couple of really good dragon incantations that scale with arcane. So the frost breath and the scarlet rot breath are really good for that. I've picked up, Cap, Eleonora's pole blade, which is kind of like a Darth Maul pole blade. You can use the weapon. Yeah, you can use the weapon art on that and do these like crazy spins. But essentially, you hit them a lot, so you're proccing your bleed quite regularly. Really fun, I'm finding. I guess the only weakness I'm finding the build, Cap, is when you find enemies that don't bleed, it's fucking painful, dude. It's painful. I'm just slapping them essentially. But yeah, look, I'm done with Caelid, Limgrave. I've done Lyrian of the Lakes. I've done the Two Rivers. I've done most of Rani's quest and about to make my way up to the Great Plateau. So progressing through, I'm really enjoying the game again. I'm glad I've waited this long to replay it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of things have been balanced since then, Cap. Like I think Bleed was nerfed a bit. And I must admit, not cheesing the game with magic, I'm just enjoying the boss fights a little bit more for the mechanics that they've got rather than just blitzing them through magic. But it's pretty cool. I just wanted to have a couple of reflections, Cap, on the DLC coming here. The first thing is, I mean, looking back at previous DLCs, if people are expecting to be able to jump into Elden Ring and play the DLC day one, suggestion is to go and get your character at least in
the
new game.
Get your shit together.
Got a month like me. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the Souls games to date, the entries to the DLCs are like mid-late game, and it looks
We know where the entry to the DLC is. It's been confirmed to be after the Moog fight, and the Moog fight is like end game. That's end game. That's not mid game. That is fucking, you know, good luck playing that fucking straight out the gate. You know, you're not going to get there.
Yeah, I don't think Curdy beat that guy because he was a pain in the ass. I think there's probably a lot of people in the same boat, so
it'd
be interesting. Yeah, jump back in that if you want to play Elden Ring, so maybe do that. Cap, I've been playing through still Baldur's Gate 3 Honor Mode. We are pretty much, we've done the, worked our way through most of Act 1. We had a really hairy fight. We had a couple of fights that have just been near on death. We had one a couple of days ago where we're fighting the guy in the forge, the big, what is he? He's like a construct that comes out of the forge to fight you, and you've kind of got to lure him into the middle of the room and then use the hammer on him. But Honor Mode adds these different resistances, and his one was if you attack him every couple of turns, he would like expel energy around him and basically shoot you guys away. So when you're trying to position yourselves around the levers to try to like drop him and things, he would be knocking you over and knocking you into the lava and all this kind of stuff. So it was like, look, we ended the end of the fight, mate. We had everyone dead apart from me on my wizard, and I had like 10 hit points left. And the enemy had 15 hit points, but I only had a bonus action, so I had to drink an invisibility potion and hide for his turn. And then on my turn, hope that the damage I was going to deal to him was enough to kill him. So
and it was.
It was. We got it. It was all good.
Wow,
the run is still alive.
Yep. That is the skinnier sack, mate. That is
close. It was skin of the sack. Last thing I want to talk about, Cap, is Dota 2 had a massive update recently.
Yeah, it was huge.
Pretty much overhauled the whole game.
Maybe give us a bit of a rundown of like the main takeaways. I mean, obviously not per hero, but I guess the big additions, because you're basically getting two major new things per hero.
Yeah, so they've added these things called facets and innate abilities. Innate abilities. Yeah. Innate abilities are things that are passives for your character that you don't have to level. You have them at the start of the game. An example is a Medusa's Mana Shield. That was already in the game, but a bunch of heroes have those already now. So I can't remember what the other ones are, but there's a bunch of them that they just have. You don't have to skill them up. You just have them. I think
Mana Shields.
Yeah, so Medusa at the start of the game, without putting a level into anything, has Mana Shield. I think Riki, for example, has Backstab for his as his innate, and all the characters will have some form of innate passive skills that are different.
Jesus, man.
Now, the other one is Facets, Cap. So every character now has a facet you can pick, which is essentially changes the way your character is played. You can pick one of two different facets. For example, for Shadow Shaman, you can pick one facet where all of your wards just turn into one big ward. So when you use your ulti, it's got heaps of life and it deals heaps of damage rather than all the little wards.
Blocking people in.
So they change. Anyway, look, the game is huge because, I mean, you've got like 100-something heroes in Dota 2, so a lot more to think about now. The pro scene is fucking wild right now. People are coming up with
bet it is.
Crazy strats and things. So that's pretty interesting to watch that as well.
So, I feel like this is going to be a good TI.
I feel like it's going to be a great TI. Yeah, a lot happening. I must admit, Cap, I'm really enjoying my gaming at the moment. Lots happening, lot to enjoy, lot to look forward to, which we will talk about a little bit later. But I want to know, Cap, how your gaming is going, mate. What have you been up to?
Been really good. I'm going to start off real quickly with just saying that we finally did play Valheim, only after I fucking badgered the fuck out of Grizz because he was saying, nah, shit game. And I was like, mate, you said you'd play with me. How dare you do this? You can't do this to me, Grizz.
It was fucking really good. Hunting got me, dude. That was super fun.
Yeah, we had a really good time. I complained for about 30 minutes as soon as we started because we just couldn't fucking get anything happening. We built a base near the Black Forest and there was just shit coming out of everywhere.
I've got a reason for why that is, Cap, by the way.
Why?
Apparently when you kill bosses, the world gets harder.
Oh, my God.
And we joined an existing world where they'd already killed two of the bosses, so...
And it was just a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. My bodies littered the countryside. It was horrific. But it was still really good. Once we got up and running a little bit, it was a lot of fun. Just had to, you know, put the base down and get some fucking walls up ASAP. But, yeah, just good fun playing with the boys. And I was just enjoying smacking some trees and chopping some wood. It was good fun. It was good. It was really good. So that was Valheim. I think we're going to get back into there a little bit here and there and, you know, just punch
with
out some,
I'm keen.
Some content. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there's some new endgame content with the whole Ashlands thing and new weapons and armor and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty fun. Anyways, the other thing I've been doing is playing a lot of Elden Ring, Grizz, and I am at about 45 hours worth of game time as well. So I am playing a dirty, cheesy mage build because I went full, basically try hard with my first playthrough. Went to a strength build with a little bit of faith and basically
shield.
Didn't do any summons in my first playthrough. Didn't do, kind of just bashed my head against the wall for some of the bosses and eventually got there in the end. Whereas with this one, I was like, I'm just going to get to the end, and if I want to run a silver tier and restart my character, I will, but I'm just going to get there ASAP because I was worried I wasn't going to finish it in time. But, I mean, I've done all of Limgrave, I've done all of the Weeping Peninsula, I've done all of Caelid, haven't done the Dragon's Barrow, but that won't take me too long.
Yeah.
I've done one of the rivers, and I've done about a half of the other river. I've done all of Liurnia in every direction. I've done all of the plateau now, and I've done all of the surrounding area of the Volcano Manor. So that's like Mount Gelmir.
Dude, you've done heaps. You know one thing, Cap? After once you get into the plateau, I basically didn't explore those areas. That area and the ice area, I was like, nah, fuck this. I just want to get to the end. So I'm actually looking forward to going in and spending a bit more time hunting around in there. And
those areas are really cool, and there's some awesome dungeons and stuff in there. But yeah, so I think I'm about level, I'm probably pushing level 89-ish, I'd say, maybe 90 now. So I've just gotten enough intelligence to cast, what's her bloody name? Rennala's Full Moon.
Oh, yeah, the moon. Yeah.
So I can cast the moon spell. It's not Rani's Dark Moon, but I can cast Old Mates. And that's a really cool spell. Basically turn into a moon and then just fire it at someone. So that's sick. And I also just found the big, like, just beam, you know,
Comet of Azure, That is what carried me through the game last time, Kat.
It's fucking shit now, mate. I'll tell you that.
Is it?
It's fucking garbage. I used to be able to
get the tier that consumed half of your FP on spell usage and then just hold it on people.
Because it's fuck all now. I don't know whether I'm just haven't got the right like kind of makeup, but I'm getting way better at results with casting Full Moon, and then that gives me extra damage on, I think, Glintstone spells, which I just do empowered comet. So it's like Glintstone comet spells, and you can hold the button down and it does like a stronger version of it. And I mean, I will chunk some bosses for like a quarter of their health. It's out of control. And then I'm using summons and fucking everything now. So I'm like, send my wolves in, and I'm like, all right, guys, you get a bit of aggro, then I'll send a freaking comet out, and then I'll wait for you guys to pick up aggro again and just rinse repeat. But yeah, it's been a really fun playthrough. I'm the kind of the same Grizz. I didn't even expect myself to actually even play this game for the DLC because I was like, I just don't think I have time or the drive. And I've just been really enjoying my second run through because I kind of just know where all the little gotchas are, and I've been really enjoying like kind of just knowing what I'm doing and going into some of the dungeons.
Just, you don't get cheesed by those shitty little right at the end of the bonfire. I will say that we're kind of enjoying similar thing in Baldur's Gate, Cat, because you kind of know when stuff's coming up.
I'm kind of enjoying the game for a different reason, because I mean, obviously you're kind of playing it with the intention of not cheesing the fights, whereas I kind of did that my first playthrough, and now I'm kind of cheesing everything. But even then, it's not quite cheesing. I don't think I've actually really cheesed anything apart from the dual tree sentinel fight in the plateau, because that's just fucking there. It's ridiculous. But other than that, like, it's just been, I mean, magic kind of invalidates some fights, but then makes other fights obscenely more difficult than they need to be.
Yeah. So I think it's a good balance. There's some fights that I absolutely pierce it in. If people are prone to bleeding and staggering, my weapon is absolutely insane at doing that. So, yeah, but I can imagine, I think when I played, I remember there was a few that were really tough as a spellcaster, and I'd be relying on hitting people instead.
One fight that I found really difficult was any of the Crystallion fights, because you need to, like, if you jump attack them, you can stagger them really easy and break them, whereas you don't have that opportunity with magic. Yeah. They're also resistant to magic, so they're basically impossible. But I found a spell that you can cast, and it's called Night Maiden's Mist or something, and it just basically puts like a big like a dot in an area, and they just walk into it and just get smacked to fucking smithereens. It's great. Especially good for slow bosses that just walk through things. So I've been finding little combinations of different spells to work a treat. So it's been good. Mm-hmm. It's been a really good, fun playthrough. And, just breezing through it. You know, it's been really fun. And some things I'm just going, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not doing it. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to do it. I mean, I did also, I summoned players to help me beat Rennala, because she's not immune to magic, but basically. So she was almost impossible for me to kill. And I was like, well, I'm not going to level up. I'm not going to level up and learn a weapon just to kill you. I'm just going to hire some blokes in. And got the fucking death squad in.
Got him in.
I was like, all right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
That's nice. So funny. It's good you can do that, though.
It's good fun. I mean, that's what I mean, because I haven't really experienced any multiplayer until this playthrough. So I was kind of like, let's give it a crack. Let's see what happens. So I was like, fuck it. They can just kill Rennala for me, and they did. It was great.
Smashed it.
But yeah, so anyways, that was nice, my mate. Gaming, Grizzly Gamer. But yeah, there you go. Now, Grizz, well, we should probably dive back into the quest log. We figured we may as well just kind of knock that out there while sort of the conversation topic.
Yep.
But Grizz, the next one we've got, so we've had some details emerge about Valve's secret little MOBA-style hero shooter that they've had in the works for a while. Now, I remember getting some early kind of rumors. I remember once saying that they were working on a shooter in this kind of vein. It was kind of like a shooter based on Dota. And I remember at the time, I thought, okay, yeah, see that fucking, yeah, sure. Okay, we'll see that when I fucking see it, I guess. Anyways, it seems like it's out and about. There's been some leaks that have kind of come out. There's this thing out there called Deadlock. And people are kind of giving it they're kind of saying Overwatch-style hero shooter, which I don't know how much I agree with. I mean, it's kind of adjacent, but I would say it's almost a little bit more Smite, but heavier on the...
That's exactly what I was going to say, mate. And I also reckon that the style of it almost gives me Team Fortress 2 vibes in it. It's kind of it does seem futuristic, cyber.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a mix between Team Fortress 2 and Dishonored.
Yeah, I can see where you're going there. Yeah, there definitely is some kind
the color
of...
color palette, in particular.
Color palette. Yeah, and even the style of some of the heroes and stuff you see, like...
Yeah, kind of weird, punky, kind of Victorian kind of thing going on.
Big time.
But yeah, it looks really interesting. We haven't got an awful lot. There's a couple of YouTube videos floating around of, I guess, the gameplay. But, you know, the basic structure, Grizz, seems to kind of just be like a lane-based shooter. Yeah. All the characters have, I guess... they've got like a set of skills that kind of complement one another and use for team fights and whatnot, and, you know, support and everything.
It looks like a 6v6, three lanes, like standard, pretty similar to Dota. And like you say, like you can see ultimate abilities, and I can see maybe that's where I could see the crossover, say, with Overwatch, Cap, because you kind of do see... some of those ultimate abilities and other bits and pieces that look kind of similar to the way that they were done in that game. There has been some, what have they got, Cap? So there's apparently like 19 different characters that we've seen some bits and pieces of.
Yeah. And they've all got kind of different skills or, I guess they've kind of, you know, cause I remember again hearing a while back that, cause apparently Ice Frog, which is one of the creators of Dota, basically, this was one of their projects whilst they were still doing Valve stuff and whatever else. But I think this has kind of been, it's not, obviously it's not Dota, but I think it's taken some inspiration from just generally, I guess, hero, specialties and themes, not quite the aesthetic or anything like that, but you know, there's kind of like Lightning Guy and fucking, you know, Death Witch Lady and you know, all those kind of. I mean, obviously they're fairly cliche kind of classic things, but these are kind of the main things, and all the different heroes have different kind of abilities, but they all seem to share them one thing where they are shooting based heroes. It doesn't seem like I've seen many melee kind of characters, at least from what I've kind of noticed.
All shooty shooty boys. Interesting, Cap. We got a comment in our Twitch chat from Aries saying, picking up genres that Blizzard have dropped is a Valve specialty after all. Just some reflection I did on this. So I actually wrote here that Blizzard fumbled both the MOBA in Heroes of the Storm and shooter in what I see as Overwatch 2. And I feel like Valve has got a pretty good handle, Cap, on live service MOBAs. I think the proof is in the pudding with Dota 2 being able to successfully drive that game for how many years now?
Freaking ages.
Major prize pool, big in the competitive scene. And I think a shooter in the same vein. I always thought that, like, I always actually really liked the idea of Smite, Cap, like a third-person MOBA. That game was really fun. I just don't know whether it was pushed by a dev team to get it, say, where Dota is. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if this is a Valve IP, something they're pushing, maybe this can potentially bridge that gap and provide something that's not out there currently. And
I think there's space for a good MOBA style shooter, because I think I think Smite had something really going for it, but it just couldn't quite. I think, in all honesty, I think the whole like god thing was just a bit fucking lame, to be honest.
A fan
like
of that, were
you? No, I just thought it was fucking boring. Whereas this is, you know, got its own kind of spin on the hero base and its own kind of lore and aesthetic, and I think that looks pretty cool. But I think we kind of don't have anything. It either goes all MOBA or kind of as close to MOBA as possible, or goes as close to shooter as possible. So I'd say Overwatch is kind of closer towards the shooter side, and obviously there's hero-based elements, but, you know, Valorant's kind of in the same boat. It's not quite CSGO, but it's like, you know, kind of closer to CSGO than it is, say, Dota, for example. Whereas this game kind of seems like it might be nicely positioned in the middle, where it's kind of, it's got the shooter elements, but then it's also really got those tactical, like, team-based things going on as well.
Well, I honestly think that's what lets Overwatch 2 down, Cap, is, you know, it's not a MOBA. Most of them are team games like Control the Point, etc., bits and pieces, which I don't think necessarily go hand in hand with a good esports game around the tactics and the bits and pieces. So maybe this will bring, like you say, pieced together nicely in that middle ground to be able to offer that competitive space while giving that shooter element as well.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, I quite like the look of it so far. I mean, if it launches with, say, 19 odd characters, you know, it says inspired by the Dota universe with a modern steampunk. I don't know how it's inspired by a Dota, because it doesn't look anything like Dota to me, but I think maybe taking elements of Dota. And then it kind of looks like there's probably going to be, like, I mean, according to these leaks anyway, you know, tower defense mechanics. You know, probably coming out maybe, you know, next year sometime, depending on whether there's delays and stuff. But I think it could be really cool, Grizz. I'm really interested to see how it goes. I think I'm up for something kind of fresh, if it ever happens. I mean, this is the other thing. Like, Valve is such a weird company where they have a very flat structure, and then they're just going to work on projects that they think are cool. And sometimes those projects don't eventuate into anything, because they're just one of these companies that just, they have money and they're just like, eh, fuck it. If it works, it works. It doesn't, it doesn't. Mm. And we may just never see this game, which is,
we may not.
Yep. You know, it's a reality for Valve. I mean, it's a reality for a lot of games at the moment. But given how we found out about this game and the leak and everything else, you know, it seems, you know, well, Valve has commented that this is all early development with a lot of experimental gameplay features and art assets. So we know at least that they're acknowledging that it exists, but whether it actually goes beyond that point is another interesting thing. But, I mean, you know, in amongst all this, Chris, we had some bloody mad lad figure out how to reveal the concurrent playtester numbers on this particular game, because it's floating around in the Steam ecosystem somewhere. So someone,
how many playtesters we've got? How many people playing?
Well, this one doesn't say in this, 186 concurrent players at the time of writing, which was on 2 days ago. So, you know, there's 200 people playing this game and playtesting it. And yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in here. There's like all these hero prefabs that kind of, you know, talk about some of the heroes that we might see labeled, things like Abrams, Archer, Astro, Bebop, Chrono.
Names.
And these are kind of like secret, like, they're not secret names, but they're kind of like, you know, developer names for calling certain things. So, anyways, it's interesting. Will we see it anytime soon? Who freaking knows? Probably not. But the fact is out there, and Valve's at least acknowledging it, I think, is a very interesting sign. So keep an eye out. We'll see what happens.
Keep an eye out. Yeah, big time.
Now, Grizz, talking about keeping an eye out, we have got in the next, like in June, we have got a significant number of games showcases. So I kind of wanted to like wrap this up for everyone, because, man, we've got shitloads coming out. So the first one we've got, Grizz, on the 8th of June, we've got Summer Games Fest. Now, this is a really...
That's the Jeff Keighley, isn't it? Jeff Keighley.
It is. It's kind of like... It's the other end side of the year versus the Video Game Awards. So Video Game Awards is also Jeff Keighley. and this is like the front half of the year kind of thing. So,
yeah,
you know, we're going to be getting potentially probably some reveals. This is a two-hour showcase. In brackets, what's next in gaming?
Yeah.
So you don't know what we're going to see. I mean, traditionally at Video Game Awards and, you know, Jeff Keighley events, we've seen, I mean, Elden Ring, the first trailer was dropped at the Video Game Awards. So you know, that level of stuff is where this, you know, kind of gets released.
I wonder whether we'll see the second trailer drop there, Cap, or another trailer drop there, another story trailer, potentially.
Potentially. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we'd be looking at probably a fortnight before the DLC drops at this stage. So, yeah, I mean, definitely could see maybe a bit of gameplay. I mean, we've kind of got a little bit of gameplay, but we haven't got, like, major solid stuff. It was kind of like the announcement trailer. So maybe we'll get some sort of, I don't know, something in there. We'll see. But yeah, so keep an eye out for that. Now, we've also got one called Day of the Devs, which will follow the Summer Games Showcase, and that's going to be a lot of indie announcements and whatnot. So that's the day after. Then following that on the 9th, Grizz, we've got Future of Play Direct. Now, this is just a complete another one. It's just another indie kind of game thing.
Is this an Aussie, Australia, New Zealand kind of thing?
Future of Play is a game showcase that's hosted by Melios, the VTuber. I don't know what the go this one is, mate. I've never actually heard of this one before, so it's kind of new to me. But I'm just looking at the – it's hosted by – celebrating a bold, brighter future of play. Fresh spin on video game showcases, bringing you exciting new games from across the galaxy, inspired by quintessential hype machine, Toonami. The show is hosted by VTuber AI broadcaster Melios, who makes their mission to feature big announcements, brand new trailers, music, guests, and all kinds of other shit. So I think it's kind of a bit of a just fucking everything.
Could be everything, right? Could be everything. Okay.
So there you go. We've also got Future Game Show, which tends to happen most years. That's going to be on the next day. So that's June the 9th now. Future Game Show, I can't remember who that's hosted by specifically. Games Radar, it sounds about right. So, yeah, that's kind of like Golden Joysticks, you know.
Over so that, 40 I mean, games. There you go. So a couple there to come. Well, it looks a
couple there to go for sure. There's also one called the Wholesome Direct. This is like, I think Wholesome Direct is specifically for games that are kind of like cozy. It's going to be like a cozy games stream, so that'll be pretty
Stardew
cool.
Stardew Valley,
Stardew Valleys, and just like nice kind of just things you can chuck on in the background, have a bit of fun after work. So that'll be good. Now, what else we got in here, Grizz? We got the Xbox Games Showcase. That's on the 10th of June. Man, this is out of control. We've actually got like for like a 4-day period, we've got a different game showcase every day. So this is happening on that day. There's a lot of kind of studios that are going to be presenting here. Specifically, there's been rumors that we're going to be getting a new Doom game revealed at this event. It seems like that's probably, you know, pretty likely. And Black Ops. It seems, apparently the Doom game is going to be called Doom the Dark Ages, and we did get confirmation that we're going to be getting, you know, a bloody Black Ops 6, okay? Bloody things. So there you go. And then, just to kind of neaten it all off, there's two more here, Grizz. On that same day, we're also getting the PC Gaming Show, which is run by PC Gamer. So that'll be all kinds of bits and pieces. There's going to be 70-plus games, exclusives, and announcements celebrating 10 years. That's huge.
Being spoiled, Cap. Lots of gaming, Matt. Lots of gaming happening.
Being spoiled. And then we've also got the Ubisoft Forward on June 10th. We're probably going to be getting, I would dare say, Assassin's Creed Shadows, which we'll be talking about later. Probably also be getting more information on, you know, the new X Defiant game that just released. It's kind of like a kind of, you know, COD style arcade shooter. And I'd probably say Star Wars Outlaws, etc. So there you go. And then, Grizz, just to kind of knock these ones out real quick, we've also got women-led games. So that'll be kind of, I guess, specifically tailored towards, you know, games that have been produced by women, which is awesome. Also got the Latin American Games Showcase, I guess kind of similar vein. And we're also getting a Nintendo Direct at some point this month as well. So we don't know exactly when. Now, we do know based on the last things that we won't be getting Switch 2 announced at this one, but we're going to be at some stuff. So there you go.
Got some things happening, mate.
So yeah, shitloads. Anything in there you're particularly looking forward to, Grizz?
Well, I always like the Nintendo Directs, Cap. I think that is going to be good to see that. I am very excited for the potential new Doom, which we're going to talk about. So I'm going to keep my ears pinned for that because it sounds right up our alley, Cap. So we'll discuss that in a little bit more detail. Anything else here? That nothing else really stands out to me, Capo, in amongst all this, but I'm sure there is
nothing
stuff
out of control. I think, I don't know, I'm just hoping for some real cool Shadow kind of announcements and stuff that maybe we weren't expecting. I think the Doom game could be pretty rad. I mean, it's called, what was it called? It's called like Doom the Dark Ages. So are we going kind of back in time or something? I mean, that could be really rad as well.
That's what they're saying. Yeah. Do you want to jump onto that story, Cap? Do you want to jump onto the...
100%. Well, tell me about it. Like, what's the go?
Well, I did a little bit of digging here. So it is the Dark Ages, rumored to be revealed at the Xbox Games Showcase June 9. It sounds like it's going to be medieval, is everything we've kind of heard about it. So the base game of Eternal and the DLCs showed some medieval aesthetics in there. And things we've heard here from a developer interview a while back, a guy called Hugo Martin, basically said that if Eternal was like driving an F1 car, the next Doom would be more like driving a monster truck or a heavy tank. He also mentioned Lovecraft elements, the potential to go into some of the foundations of Doom. So going back in time to explore some of those original concepts.
So that's pretty cool.
So a bit of slower-paced combat maybe, Cap. Are we going to see melee weapons? Are we going to see bows, crossbows, other bits and pieces, and other kind of a few more mechanics rather than those futuristic weapons that we love in the Doom games? So I think it could be really cool if done the right way. And those games are fantastic though, Cap, aren't they? Those Doom games are really good.
Big time. And I mean, despite, I don't know, despite what's happened with, I guess, recent kind of, I can't remember what the exact issue was, Grizz. Remember there was that bloke who had the soundtrack issue. I can't remember what his name was, but basically Bethesda didn't pay him or something along those lines. We talked about it on this show. I cannot.
We did,
it was like 2 years ago.
What was that guy's name that did the music? He got screwed over by them.
Completely fucked over. But I was just about to say how good the soundtrack was, but then also I was like, and also that guy got completely fucked over. But look, I mean, obviously obligatory at this stage, like the new Doom game has to have a sick soundtrack. It needs to be filthy, you know, like thrash black metal. I mean, if it doesn't have that, we've got issues.
Surely it's going to have that. But I do worry, Cap, because the guy behind those successful soundtracks is probably likely not doing music here, right? And that was such an important component behind those games because they just took... Because, I mean, you look back on those original Dooms, it was 8-bit music, and he kind of even took that and then applied it into hardcore metal fucking monster slaying and just did such a great job of that. So, yeah.
His name was Mick Gordon, Grizz.
Mick Gordon, that's right, yeah. And look, just to recap what happened there, I think what happened is he did the first Doom and it was fine. In the second one, they basically wanted to use a bunch of his stuff that wasn't ready and then they refused to
pay
him for it. And like then they put his name on stuff that he hadn't approved for use and was shit and just like a real cluster.
A bit rough. So hopefully we haven't got those same kind of Don Beaters running the games production side, but real shame to not have him working on the music, because from what I understand, you know, I'm just reading some of the comments here, is that those two new guys, Andrew Holschult and David Levy, apparently they did a really good job, but not quite Mick Gordon level thrash.
Interesting.
Wicked shit, you know? Now, actually, thanks, Deb, for reminding me in the chat. There has been rumors that we're also getting a Sony state of play kind of showcase at some point soon. I'd probably estimate maybe end of the month of June, could kind of like sandwich all of this stuff. We also got some recent rumors that we're going to be getting a Astro Boy game, not just like a kind of play test VR thing. I don't know if you're familiar with the Astro robot kind of, you know, character grids. You know, I think when the PS5 came out, there was an Astro Boy VR game.
There was Astro's Playroom as well, right, that you could play through on the PS5 with those characters, wasn't there? Pretty sure.
Yes. And the big thing about it all was, you know, all the different levels were based on a different hardware part of the PS5. And so there was like the GPU level, and there was like the cooling springs level. And it was, it was good. Yeah. It was really, really fun, actually. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so apparently we're getting one of those. We'll probably see that at the showcase. But one thing to note as well is that PlayStation did say that we weren't going to be getting any more first-party games. I can't remember if they said just this year or into next year as well. So we're not going to be getting any like God of War-level things, no Spider-Man, all that kind of stuff. But we're also pending what may be a PS5 Pro announcement, so we might be getting that as well. So who freaking knows, Grizz? Who knows? I would even suggest that, you know, like if they're ready to announce that, then you'd think that Microsoft's pretty close to announce something as well. So
just on Kazi's comment there, yeah, the Astro tech demo game was awesome, almost to the point that the way that they incorporated haptic feedback and all the different things that the PlayStation 5 did was almost better than the games that came out on PlayStation 5 using the technology to its full advantage.
I remember like there were like one of the feedback triggers on the PS5, and I remember the first time I ever experienced that with like trying to like fire a rocket ship and having to push back. Like, I just thought it was unbelievable. So cool. Mm. Such a good gimmick. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that game actually is, Grizz, because it seems like it's going to be a full-fledged platform action adventure or platform adventure game.
So you said that this is based on VR, is it, Cap? Is it the similar same thing?
Well, it doesn't seem so, no, because normally they have a big gimmick behind the Astro Boy kind of you know, games, because they tend to use it to introduce like kind of hardware or whatever else. Whereas this seems to be this is the Astro game, like the game. Wow. Like, so it makes me wonder, will they have a gimmick for it? And there's been a lot of push recently with PlayStation to not be agnostic, but more so just produce games beyond the PS5 and put them out on PC and stuff. So it kind of makes me wonder whether maybe this will be, maybe it is kind of agnostic of, you know, the whole kind of medium of using the PlayStation as a vessel for game design for them, and maybe they'll go harder into like, you know, having a desert level and having a freaking, you know, a ice level and stuff like that, rather than, you know, kind of the PS5 equivalent kind of thing. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm pretty keen to see what they can do, but you know, it will be good. Who fucking knows? All right, Chris.
What have we got, Cap?
All right, Chris. We got also recently, I was quite looking forward to this, and now I don't know how I feel about it. Yes. But Assassin's Creed, you know, it's got a storied history. There's been plenty of games. People have been asking for one set in Japan for fucking ever. And they finally announced that they had Assassin's Creed Shadows in the works. And it is, well, it looks like another Assassin's Creed game. It seems like it's going to be going down the RPG path. But this time the gimmick is that you're going to be playing two characters, not just one, and switching between them. So you're going to be playing a more ninja-style character and a more samurai character. And the samurai character is actually based on Assassin's Creed's first historically accurate protagonist, Yusuke, which is a known black samurai in history. I don't know exactly where Yusuke kind of originated from, but I think he might have come from might have been with a merchant or something, and then kind of found themselves in Japan and then became kind of like a samurai. And so
Cap, I watched the trailer and I thought it would be fucking awesome. Tell me, why are you not sold on this? Why are you not sold on this idea, mate? What is it?
I just thought, I don't know, it kind of, I always, with these trailers, I kind of just, there's no gameplay here, firstly. I kind of got a little bit of like a kind of shit Mulan kind of vibe out of this. And then also the whole thing going on with like the Yusuke thing and the fact that if I'm going to have to switch between characters, I actually don't like that as a mechanic, because I'm kind of being pulled and ripped out of like areas. And I've just never, like, for example, GTA 5, man, I don't even like GTAs anyway, but I just thought the whole thing of switching between characters was just garbage. I hated it. And even the Assassin's Creed Syndicate, did not enjoy that as part of the game. I'm just not a huge fan of having to switch. I just want to play my character. I just want to fucking play my character. So I don't know if I'm going to really enjoy this that much. And it's also then I've got to like juggle two different characters with like gear and all the rest of it. So I don't know. But either way, I kind of just felt like the trailer was just a little bit mid. It's a little bit like, you know, Freedom Fighter kind of, which, you know, fine, that's kind of a lot of what these games are, but
yeah,
I just now, it just didn't grab me, Grizz. And if it's gonna be another RPG one,
that didn't they like try to consolidate this franchise into getting rid of some of the IP like ideas that weren't going to be successful to give us dedicated releases? So this is obviously something that's come out that they've wanted to take forward. It'd be interesting to see how it goes and whether it's been a good decision to
look.
How's it received from other people? Cap, people kind of excited about this?
I think it's fairly mixed. There's a fair few people that are kind of annoyed that we're going to be playing a black protagonist in a game in Japan. So, you know, people are always going to complain about something. But, I mean, realistically, this is a person that actually existed. You know what I mean? So, you know,
it's happened,
complain all you want. It happened. So, anyways, there's that. I think mostly people are, I guess the people who play Assassin's Creed games are fairly excited. I don't think it hasn't gotten a lot of massive traction on like Reddit and stuff like that in, you know, your classic kind of areas.
It's been pretty quiet. I didn't know it existed until I was reading through the run sheet. So,
I just think, Grizz, realistically, there's some pretty big shoes to fill in recent kind of Asian inspired environments and games that exist in an RPG capacity. I mean, we spoke about Sekiro earlier. Obviously, that's Soulsborne. I know that. I know it's mythologically kind of bound, but still, it's a very strong property. We've also got Ghost of Tsushima. It just released on PC, and that is a cinematic fucking masterpiece. This game is going to have to do some big heavy lifting, and people have been wanting this Assassin's Creed or this like setting for a very long time. And I just don't know how they're going to pull it off if they're going to go and wrap the whole bloated fucking Ubisoft RPG game system around it, because it's just, they're so fucking boring these days, and they're bloated, and it's just, you know, you're doing the same old shit. You're climbing towers, you're fucking jumping off them, and then you're going to go and find an outpost, go and wipe all the outposts. It's just boring. It's so fucking boring.
Surely they've listened to their community, Cap, because I feel like this was definitely something that people, you know, kept saying when Valhalla was released and everything else, that the RPG bloat was just over the top in those games. And then we had Elden Ring come out, and it was like, oh, well, maybe this is how an actual RPG should look.
Well, that's the thing, is rewarding players for exploration and having more unique kind of item stuff. I think that's the other thing, is they kind of went down like the Diablo 4 kind of like loot drop kind of thing a little bit, and it's I don't know, Grizz. I'm not going to be sold until I see that it's not bloated. I think I was really excited for Mirage, because that was going to be like a non-RPG-ish kind of, you know, more traditional Assassin's Creed thing. I just wanted that in this game, you know. Kind of also kind of giving you some Metroidvania aspects, to giving you tools and stuff to, you know, open new areas and stuff like that. I think that's what I really liked from the original game, was just kind of, you know, it was not heavily Metroidvania-y, but I guess just instead of there being, you know, areas that are just too hard because you're underleveled. It was more so just like you're slowly working your way up through different missions and, you know, things being kind of cut off and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm not that sold, Grizz. And I mean,
your gut feeling is usually pretty good on these things, Cap. I remember, let's talk about Redfall. I was like, yeah, Redfall is going to be sick. It's going to be co-op experience. It's going to be great fun. Everyone's going to love it. And you were like, that looks shit.
Yeah, looks shit. And it was shit. So shit that everyone got fired, which is pretty rough. But, you know, anyways, I shouldn't put that out to the world so hard next time. But, yeah, so there you go. I don't know, Grizz. We'll see what happens. Well, look, one good thing that has come out of all this, Grizz, is Ubisoft has specifically said that there will not be, they're not going to have always online multiplayer capabilities. Just let it, because people were asking about it, is there going to be a mandatory connection required? Because a lot of games these days do require some element of mandatory connection, whether it be to download updates or whatever else. And yes, it's
take our video games from us when they decide they don't want us to have them anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. You know, not going to support this beyond whatever.
Yep.
Ubisoft basically said yes, an online connection will be needed to install the game, but you will be able to play the game entirely offline and explore Japan without any online connection. So, you know, fairly standard. You probably need the initial patch to download and stuff, but for the most part, you know, you're not going to be needing to be connected all the time. So that's good. Great.
Very nice.
One person commented here, Grizz, and I kind of agree. Just the fact that we even need to make these statements is just kind of shit that today it's like we just assume that they're going to be, I don't know, you know, always online and like, can we get,
I mean, I can kind of see it from a dev point of view, right? Though it allows you to patch it quick and easily. It allows you to update your game when you want to update your game. It also allows you to control people hacking your game and fucking playing free copies of it, right?
Yeah, especially also that there's probably the microtransaction angle as well, and you can kind of control that a bit better. But also on top of that, I suppose, even getting statistics about what people are doing in the game, you know, they can get live basically data about how people are playing the game, because that's really important data for marketing and understanding what people are interfacing with. What missions are they doing? What are they getting all the way through the missions? Which bosses do they go and do? You know, like what areas are they spending the most time in? You know, all that kind of data is really important to devs these days, and you know, data's big business. So, big biz. But yeah, so there you freaking go, Grizz. Now, mate, that's our cheeky little quest log, and we've already done our what do you call it? How's your gaming going? So we're going to be diving straight into the old rapid fire, my friend. So,
did you want to do the games we're excited for this year, Cap?
Oh,
or do you want to save that?
No, let's do that now. Let's do it.
Do that. Okay.
Yeah. No, 100%. I didn't even see that because I bolded it. I did that. I just didn't even look
this
at
has
it.
Has to stand out. Oh yeah, we'll fucking ignore that. Yeah.
Completely forgot about it. Yeah. Well, Grizz, look, I'm going to let you go first at the I think there's going to be a fair bit of overlap basically between.
Well, dude, I've picked three, and I've got some honourable mentions. I actually don't reckon mine are going to overlap with yours all that much. So, well, obviously, Elden Ring DLC. I mean,
yes,
I don't need to talk about
June
that. 21. We've already talked about that. It's coming. My second one. Maybe it gets released this year, maybe it doesn't, but I cannot go past talking about Hades 2, Cap.
Yeah.
So Hades 2, you can play it already. It is in, what is it, Alpha or something like that. You can actually buy it and play it. I believe 80% of the game sits there already. But I think this is going to fucking bowl people over on the version 1.0, Cap, because of a few things. They have taken what, from what I've seen, was great from Hades 1 and just made the game better. It's got that snappy combat. It's got this kind of base building aspect where you collect resources from your runs to design your base how you want. It's got the same thing where you get boons from your gods to empower your runs, and you kind of select those as you progress through the game, which I think is a fantastic way to create like a really nice roguelike experience. It's got the weapon aspect still. It's got the amazing art style, Cap. It's got the amazing voice acting still. All the dialogue options are voice acted. It's got the banging soundtrack again. And I think they're just in the right direction for that game to be another banger of a game. So I'm really, really excited for that.
Yeah,
it should be great.
I did a bit of research just saying, Grizz, it seems like they're expecting the full release out in 2025 sometime, probably first half.
Q1?
Q1 2025. So, but you never know. Never know.
You never know. I mean, you can go play it now. 80% of it is there, but there is little things that would piss me off, like not all the artwork's done for all the different like trinkets and stuff you can get and other things. So we'll wait on that. The other one, my next one, Cap, is one that is not going to be on everyone's radar, and probably for good reason, but it's actually Undermine 2.
Yeah.
So this is a to-be announced. People are playing an early version of the game now. It looks very polished. It could be out this year, but we don't know. But I'm just assuming that maybe later, towards the end of the year, it might be out. Those of you who don't know, Undermine, little description here. So players control a series of procedurally generated player characters who are compelled to find their fortune in dark, dangerous mines. During each run, players progress by descending through the mine's levels, exploring procedurally generated series of rooms and levels, and gathering rewards as you play through. Now, I'd say it's kind of like Binding of Isaac, but the art style, I reckon, is shits on Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
It's really well animated, and it looks fantastic. Now, one thing about this game, Cap, I actually feel like Undermine 1 was slept on by a lot of people. I think it had potential to be similar to how Hades took off. I think it lacked voice acting and it lacked maybe some of the music and the charm that Hades had, but it had a lot of things that were really going well for it. The progression system, the biomes, the boss design, a lot of the itemization design, and the general progression system for that game was really well done. So from what I've seen from Undermine 2, Cap, it looks pretty much exactly the same. It looks like the same game, maybe slightly tweaked animations. They've built on what was successful for Undermine 1 and looked to have made improvements to make it better. I think there's a co-op mode as well, which I think would be really good fun.
Cream of the crop, baby.
Cream of the crop, yep, potential for sure. And also another playable character. So you can now play either the miner guy, but there's also another character you can play who has like a slingshot, something different to the main character, which I think could be pretty interesting as well. So I am excited for this release. I play Undermine 1 still on my Steam Deck today. It's got like an endless mode you can play. Still quite fun. So that's on my radar, Cap. Roguelike fan.
Wicked. Nice.
That's pretty much me, mate. Honorable mentions here. Black Myth Wukong is coming out. That looks to be pretty good. It's kind of like a Souls-like set in some Buddhist folk tales. Looks pretty interesting there, Cap, but that's all I've got on my radar, mate. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
Well, look, I will just say that I too had Black Myth Wukong on my list of looking forward tos. Now, that's coming out on August 20th, so that's actually not too far away. It's only a couple of months. There was a couple of trailers that came out early on, and it looked a little bit janky, so I'm interested to see if they've kind of fixed maybe some of those animations and just made it look less kind of, I don't know, it just looked a little bit robotic and rigid, I think is probably the words, not very, the fluidity of the animations and just the attacks and stuff just looked a bit fucked, so hopefully I can address that with some of the boss enemies that they showed. Obviously, me too. Looking forward to Shadow of the Erdtree. Cannot fucking wait.
Yeah,
I'm trying to blaze through the base game at lightning speed at the moment and doing a pretty good job of it, may I say. Thank you very much.
Last one.
But I'll go through some of the other ones that I'm looking forward to, Grizz. Warhammer Space Marine 2. I actually have never had any kind of real want to play many 40K or even just Warhammer games prior to Vermintide and, I mean, to some degree, obviously, Darktide.
Yep.
But
Because you've gotten into the law and stuff, haven't you? Now you've kind of.
I have. I've been reading a lot of books, and there's certain factions I don't really give a shit about. Like, in all honesty, I think the things that I find the most interesting in the world is less so the large scale kind of war and combat, but more so the small scale kind of spies and they're called inquisitors and rogue traders in 40K, and they're kind of like rogue traders are kind of like the Han Solo kind of but they're kind of allowed to go and be bastards across the universe and kind of push the limits and stuff. And then you've also got inquisitors that are trying to find and rout out just evildoers within the mists and stuff. And that's really cool. And I find those to be the most interesting. But that said, even though I don't give a shit about Space Marines, Space Marine 2 looks out of control good, actually, to the point where I feel like this is exactly what I wanted out of Dark Tide.
Is it turn-based combat, or am I thinking of something
different? No, this is kind of like, I guess, over-the-shoulder FPS, like third person.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You kind of take control of a space marine. You're doing kind of like a little bit of hand-to-hand combat with your chainswords, but then you've also got your bolt casters, whatever they're called, and you're shooting hordes of enemies. I'm talking that fucking hordes of Tyranids or whatever they're called.
We looked at the trailer for this game, didn't we? The Tyranids come swarming in like that.
And they've just released a recent trailer, which was the multiplayer modes stuff, and that looks really, really nice. Basically, what they announced was, they're going to have I think it's a three-player co-op mode where you can play the entirety of this campaign with three players.
Nice.
There's going to be also some 6v6, like multiplayer PvP stuff as well, with like kind of Chaos Marines and whatnot going on. And then there's also kind of co-op missions. I'd say some of those co-op missions are going to be kind of in the style of like Vermintide, probably like Horde mode, Survive and stuff like that. But it looks really good. I'm really, really keen for this. There's also just things like, customizing all your weapons and getting really granular with what's on your weapons and, giving them different aspects. And then also your armor, customizing what you look like because there's all different factions of the Marine as well. Again, I'm not a huge, I don't quite really get into the Space Marine books, but it looks really cool.
Did you ever play Dawn of War, Cap?
No, because it's the RTS one, right?
Yeah, but it was cool.
Yeah, I don't really get into RTS games all that much, and because I never was really a big 40K fan.
Because
I never really got into like the tabletop stuff, and I think that was kind of the way that you really kind of wanted to play those games a little bit, was getting into those, and I never really did. So,
dude, Dawn of War's got a like 10 out of 10 on Steam, eh?
Apparently it's amazing. Like,
it was great. The other one that I didn't mention, Cap, I don't know whether it's on your list, but that's Frostpunk 2 comes out this year as well. Looks interesting.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, Frostpunk. Yeah, I don't know if I'll play it, but that looks really good as well. Actually, Deb in chat just gave a really good comparison of this game. If you're familiar with the Gears of War games, it's kind of got that kind of, I guess, vibe going on for Space Marine 2. I think a lot more Horde mode kind of stuff going on. Obviously, the 40K flavor. So, anyways, there's that. Now, that's come out on the September 9th, FYI. So if you're interested in timings. Now, Grizz, we've also got at some point this year, apparently September 5th, according to this, but we'll see. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. Now, again, I kind of spoke about Stalker, I think maybe last episode or the episode before. But it was just this really, like, the original Stalker games were this weird little kind of shooter RPG game, that was set in this like kind of post-apocalyptic, Soviet kind of Union area, and you're kind of running through these zones with these anomalies going on. You're trying to figure out what's going on, trying to find, what's causing the anomalies, finding these relics inside the anomalies, mutated things inside the zone, and And then a really good little story behind it as well, with like governments trying to get in there and take resources and stuff. And you're kind of, you know, part of the, you know, the leftover kind of crews that go in there to go and grab things. But yeah, regardless, really excited for this one. It looks really cool. I think it might be a little bit janky. You know, yeah. It just looks like it from the trailers I've seen, but we'll see. We'll see how it kind of plays out. Some of it does look just kind of a little bit garbo, but I have a little bit of hope. I have a little bit of hope. So, yeah, I hope they take their time with it, in all honesty, because I just want this game to be really fucking good. And also the other thing is, like, the main character in this new game speaks with a really thick American accent, and it is really grating. So I'm not looking forward to that either. especially when it's a game set in Soviet Russia, and like the original guy was like, you know, an Eastern European guy. So I think the choice in background of the protagonist just doesn't really make an awful lot of sense to me. I'm sure there'll be a story thing for it, but I kind of feel like they're pandering to just Americanize it for the sake of trying to get more people into it, which I don't really like that, especially given the whole allure for me is the fact that it's set in this like post-apocalyptic Russia kind of area. So yeah. I don't know. Mm. I don't know how I feel about it, but we'll see. We'll see. So there's that one. Now, Grizz, ones that don't have a specific release date, I'm just going to kind of slowly go through these. I'm actually really looking forward to the Indiana Jones game, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, that's coming out from Bethesda. And that's going to be using the likeness of Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, kind of giving me a bit of an Uncharted vibe. And obviously, again, I mean, I loved the Indiana Jones movies as a kid, and just reliving this, I think, is going to be a really big nostalgia hit for me. So I'm very, very excited for that. And, you know, fucking, man, Indiana Jones fighting Nazis, like that's the shit. That's the fucking shit. Bring it on. So keen. Also, we had Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 announced this year as well. Oh, yeah. And I think that looks really good so far. This is like a kind of full-fledged, sprawling medieval RPG. I mean, I do like a little bit of fantasy in my RPGs, but I think I'll make a concession for this bad boy. So, yeah. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Cap, I was just, as you were speaking, then I was just trying to think of what's happening in the Subnautica world and whether there's another game coming out.
It's actually on my list.
Is it on your list? Is it?
Okay. Yeah, Subnautica 2, because, I mean, we don't have a specific release date, but there was some...
Won't this be Subnautica 3? This would be Subnautica 3, wouldn't it?
Well, they're calling it Subnautica 2 because Below Zero is kind of like 1.5, I guess. Yeah. Well, at least that's how they kind of, you know how it is. But I guess that's kind of the next one on my list is just Subnautica 2, because Subnautica 1 was really special for me. I think it's one of those games I'll always look back and go, man, that was a moment in my gaming history that was just really awesome.
Dude, me too. It was such an amazing game. And for me, like someone who was diving at the time playing that game, oh my God, dude,
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think they just really took that whole dive underwater survival thing, but then had the backbone of implementing, you know, like a really strong story behind it and pushing you into little areas underwater. And but then also having this ecology behind it that was really well thought out. And
it was
just really well done. Really, really well done.
Yeah, even like, you know, you get the bladderfish that gives you water because it's holding, you know, like the different little bits and pieces in the game. Now, Kat, the reason why I brought up Subnautica 3 is I just wanted to see what was happening with that Moonbreaker game, which was, if you remember, it was the turn-based strategy tactical skirmish game that came out.
Yes. And I was like, don't do it.
That's released.
Oh.
It's out. It was released 2nd of Feb, 2024. It's got very positive reviews on Steam. It's like Moonbreaker.
Was that the one that was supposed to kind of be like tabletop sort of paint your miniatures thing?
Yeah, you paint your miniatures. You've got miniatures that battle each other and you put, like, spells and stuff on them.
Fucking don't work on that, guys. What are you doing? Fuck that off. Get it out of here. Oh, man, what a waste of time.
It's available God. Now, Cap. You sure you don't want to go play it, mate? It looks pretty good. You can no, paint your miniatures.
All it's done is sucked like very precious development time out of Subnautica 2. Oh, look, I'm sure those games are very fun for those that enjoy them, but it's definitely not for me. And I just didn't really like the look of that game at all. So, but yeah, anyways. But yeah, so Subnautica 2, Grizz. Also, a few indie games I'm really looking forward to. The Plucky Squire. That's that kind of... it's kind of like top-down, kind of Legend of Zelda-style cartoony. Then your character can, like, come out of the book and then do things in kind of like a kind of real world, move books around and change pages and walk around, like, objects and stuff and then go back into, like, the 2D world and resume. I think that's going to look really cool. That's a Devolver Digital title, so go and check that out if you haven't. I'm looking forward to this sci-fi game called The Alters, which basically follows this... It's kind of got the similar vibe to that bloody PlayStation 5 game that had that lady, and it was like the bullet hell sci-fi game, and I can never remember the name
of it. I love that, dude. Returnal.
Returnal. Kind of got a similar thing to Returnal, but way more comedy involved with this one. Basically, the whole premise of this is your character goes onto planets and, you know, tries to get resources out of them, and he's landed on this weird planet that basically is causing, like, parallel universes to merge, and he's finding different versions of himself, and all the different versions are helping him man this space station, which is mining resources, and they've got different, you know, abilities and stuff like that, and all fully voice acted by one guy, and it looks sick. So really looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to this little game called Screenbound, Grizz. Now, Screenbound is, I don't know if you've seen it, I've got a video of it, but you'll find it online if you go and look it up. It's your character is holding like a Game Boy and you're walking around in a 3D environment. Yeah. And then on the Game Boy, you might need to like walk up ladders to get your character to ascend different like verticalities and stuff like that in the 3D world. or maybe you need to do certain things in the 3D world, but there'll be even little things like you can't see the enemies in the 3D world. So you've got to jump on them in the 2D world, but just, you know, kind of playing the game on your Game Boy in the 3D. It's just, it looks really wild and really looking forward to
that. Yeah, it does look cool.
Now, two final ones. The first final one, Hyperlight Breaker. This is by the same devs who did Hyperlight Drifter. It's kind of got that neon kind of low-poly indie thing going on, roguelite game, open-world RPG. I'm quite looking forward to this one. I don't know an awful lot about it apart from those kind of main keywords, but Hyperlight Drifter was great. I really like the art style there, and I think taking that into the 3D is going to be really cool, so... Looking forward to that. And the final one, Grizz, we don't know for sure whether we're going to get this year, but I freaking hope so. And that is Silk Song.
I don't reckon it's coming this year,
I think you're probably right, but I can hope.
You can hope.
I am really hoping because we're getting a Nintendo Direct this like coming month. I really hope we might see it soon.
How was the last one announced, Kat? Do you remember?
Well, I mean, this was before Hollow Knight was a huge hit, right? But I think it was just announced. I don't think it had this amount of trepidation and hype behind it, you know what I mean? So who knows? I really do think that we see it announced with a date this year. Whether we actually get it this year, maybe not, but I really hope we get it this year. Because when was the first one released, Grizz? Hollow Knight.
Got to be like 2018, something like that, is it?
2017, yeah.
24th
of February 2017, man. That is a lot. 7 years ago. That is out of control. Wow. Anyways.
We've known about number two for ages too. I mean, it's gonna be amazing though. Surely, Cat's worth waiting.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, like, I guess, like art style like that because it's so unique, it's just not gonna age either. It's always gonna be
100%, 100%.
It's gonna look great,
big time. All right, Grizz. Let's dive in.
Rapid Fire News, brought to you by DJ Francesco.
It's in the freaking game, Grizzly. Yep. There you go, Pav. Mm-hmm. Enjoy that one, mate. Ghost of Tsushima launches as PlayStation's highest concurrent players ever, excluding Helldivers.
What?
So just tipped God of War to be the highest concurrent players on release. And it's quite funny looking at the graph because the highest concurrent players for like Ghost of Tsushima and God of War is like 73,000 players basically each-ish, with Ghost of Tsushima just above. And then Helldivers is 457. So like five times more than both of those. Mm. And obviously that's way more now as well. So, yeah, pretty wild. There you go.
That's cool. Nice. Do I need to play that game? Haven't played it yet. Cap, Musahiro Sakurai. Sorry for absolutely butchering that name. Anyway, developer for Kirby refused to add Dolby Digital to the Kirby game because players had to sit through the logo.
Man, that is a fucking, that's a flex, I feel like.
I like that.
I rate that big time. I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I'm not a sound guy, so I don't know how important Dolby Digital is, but the fact that he went, no, fuck that. No one's sitting through this stupid logo in my game.
I can even picture it. I can even picture the Dolby Digital
logo.
So can
I, the gold kind of thing. Yep. Yeah. I don't know how important that is for good sound, but I imagine not much. Now, Grizz, we spoke about the 40K Total War game earlier today, I think. Was that the one we talked about, or did we talk about a different one? Can't remember.
Which one you got there? Total War. No, the Total War are the big turn-based.
The big strategy
school
ones?
Yeah, big strategy ones. Yep.
Right. Well, Grizz, there's reports that suggest that the Total War games are taking on the Star Wars IP. So we'll be getting potentially a Star Wars Total War game.
Dude, I like the Total War games. I'm just not a big fan of how they've monetized them all. Like, they give you a game, and then they give you these micro little DLCs and add-on packs that are fucking expensive to buy all the stuff and do the things. Yeah. It's just
so fucking typical these days, though, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
you barely get a game when you buy a game for a lot of shit. But props to games developers like From Software and even the guys that are developing the Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. They announced Larian. That there won't be, Larian as well. The guys doing Space Marine 2 said, as part of their recent announcement for the multiplayer stuff, that there won't be any microtransactions. You will get the game. This is
That's
your
so
game.
Good.
Here you go.
Love it. Yeah.
I love it. I love that.
Speaking of Larian, Cap, and also keeping in mind that tumultuous times for game devs. Larian are growing, Cap. Very two ambitious RPGs on the table right now. Larian Studios is growing the team and opening a seventh studio in the heart of Poland's lively gaming scene. Welcome, Larian Studios Warsaw. So there you go.
Yep, there you go. Expanding. Grizz, Stardew Valley creator notes that they won't rush their next game, Haunted Chocolatier, saying it's better to have a delayed game than a bad game on time. And ain't that the truth?
Hell yeah, dude.
Man, obviously, hard for some developers to stick to that because, if there's bills to be paid, sometimes you just got to put the game out. But obviously, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, no shit, mate. But also, your game made millions and millions and millions and millions of fucking dollars, and I'm sure you got all the time in the world to develop that. So, you're not under the pressure, financial pressure that some other developers are.
That's cool, though. I'm glad they're taking their time with that. And 100%. Just for people that don't know, the Haunted Chocolatier is kind of looks like, from what we've seen, art style of Stardew with some very similar concepts in terms of like managing your chocolate factory. But I'm pretty sure it's a bit more heavily slanted on the combat side of that game. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think that could be quite fun. Capo, IGN Entertainment acquires Eurogamer, GI, VG247, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and more.
Yeah,
what which is kind of wild. Gaming reporting stuff, is it?
Yeah, so basically IGN's just absorbed a shitload of, like, gaming news sites, essentially. So
OGR on that list, yeah. Cap? We owned by IGN now, or what?
No fucking way, mate. They haven't got enough money to take this out of our hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's at least $200. all right, Grizz. Steam is getting Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, 2.8, and 3.
Oh, my God.
Which is basically all of the Kingdom Hearts games. So,
right.
And that's on June 13th. So just after all your showcases, you can just play all of the Kingdom Hearts games for approximately, what's that, 8 days before Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree comes out.
Crazy. Nice. Okay. Cap, Tesla.
Yep.
You can now play your Steam games in your Tesla. They are supporting Steam gaming inside its vehicles now.
No, they're not anymore. They used to.
Oh, sorry. Tesla dropped Steam gaming support inside its vehicles. I got the story the wrong way around.
Yes. Yeah, so
what happened there?
It seems like maybe, so I think the older cars are going to continue to support it for a small amount of time because you can play them in the car, which is kind of fucking crazy. But I think what's happening is I'd say the computer architecture's changing and they won't be able to support Steam on the future chipsets. Some people are speculating that maybe it's using these new ARC-based Windows computers, which are a little bit different, and so it's just not feasible to have the support anymore, so they're just dropping it. So, yeah, there you go. Now, Grizz, speaking of Helldivers earlier, the CEO of Arrowhead Games has stepped down as CEO to step into the Chief Creative Officer role. Now, people initially thought, oh, fuck, this is pretty bad. Obviously, we just had all this shit go down with Sony and maybe he's been kicked out. But it actually seems like they're getting a better ability to be a bit more, less operational and more drive the actual like success of the game's design and new features and stuff. So that's pretty cool. I think this is going to be a good thing. They actually sort of has said that too. So there you go.
Awesome. Cap, PlayStation names Herman Holst and Hideki Nishino as its new CEOs. We've a change in leadership there.
Yeah, so we recently had Jim Ryan leave, which Jim Ryan was, the CEO of Sony PlayStation for a very long time. And basically we had another CEO as acting CEO for a little while, and now they've fully implemented two new CEOs to replace Jim Ryan, which I think works quite well because I remember there was some interviews where Jim Ryan was basically complaining about, having to be in Japan and then in Europe and then in the US and then back in Europe and then back in the US and then Jack back into Japan all within within 3 weeks basically, which would be pretty hectic. And he was saying that he was doing shit like that all the time. So kind of makes sense to have a US-based CEO or maybe like a Japan-based CEO where they can kind of meet in the middle every so often just to share that kind of load, I guess. So, seems like they're being a bit more considerate of people's flexibility and time. But, obviously these guys are CEOs and get paid a shitload of money, so I don't really give a fuck. Anyways.
Nice.
Your turn. Oh, is it my turn? No, it's my turn.
Your turn.
All right. Mm. We've already read that one. Death Stranding 2's filming has finished and will now undergo what's called an adjustment phase before they release. So I believe, obviously, this game's been in dev for a little while, so I think they're kind of going back through what they've done and taken and just kind of adjusting it to the gameplay and stuff. So, hold your horses. Hideo Kojima's coming for you.
Cap, what is this game, X Defiant, mate? Apparently, it has hit 1 million players within 2.5 hours of launch.
It's basically Ubisoft's COD. That's literally, I think, the best way to suggest
it. Is it good?
So.
Is it good, dude? People are playing
it. It's pretty good. People are saying it's not groundbreaking or anything, but it's just a freaking good shooter, basically. So it's not anything like it hasn't redefined the genre. It hasn't done anything crazy. It's just done a really good job of being another COD-like shooter. Yeah. There you go.
Interesting, mate.
Now, Grizz, the final one here, Neil Druckmann, one of the lead creative minds behind things such as The Last of Us and I believe Uncharted, also yeah. worked on The Last of Us TV series as well, has said that Naughty Dog's next game could redefine mainstream's perceptions of gaming. I'm going to say fucking doubt it. But we'll
see. I wonder
see.
What they're trying to do, Cap. Is this like a live service fucking bringing mobile to PC? What are they doing, mate?
I don't know. I reckon they're going to go really hard on the cinematic stuff because I think right. Neil Druckmann's always been kind of dipping his toes into both sides of media.
Yeah.
And I think he's had a lot of success with, obviously, The Last of Us TV series, and it was heavily critically acclaimed. And, you know, obviously got guys like, you know, Pablo fucking what's his name? As lead actors and stuff. I just think they're going to be going down the line of maybe even similar to Hideo Kojima, where they get some big A-list names as, you know, doing the yeah. acting of the in-game, I think, and maybe bringing some more people from mainstream media into gaming to get them playing these games, you know. I don't know. Cool, I think man. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, go.
But, yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, Chris. Speaking of that's what it is, that's the show.
That was a big one, Cap. That was a big show, mate.
That was a big show. I mean, look, they tend to Nailed be about it. 2 hours every fortnight now, so, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, this was great. Look, thanks so much for being here. If you're listening live, like the legends such as Airy J, Debiruman TV, Daddy Sin, we got Slatos in here, we have Brian, we have Pav, we have Kamikaze Cracker. Oh. I mean, a bunch of bloody legends here tonight. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. If you want to watch live, you can do so by going to twitch.tv/OceanicGamingRadio. Follow the channel. We're live every second Monday, 7 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. Otherwise, you can listen to us on YouTube. You can go and look up the VODs, or you can listen to us on any podcasting platform you wish. Just go to OGR.show. That's it. Chuck that in your web address browser. You'll find a link to every single thing, including our Discord if you want to come and join the conversation. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can go and follow us there. We've got a whole lot in there, all of it. We've also got a link to our Patreon if you want to spend some money on this show. So that's an option too. Other than that, that's the lot. Appreciate you guys immensely. We'll see you guys, in a fortnight from today. Take it easy. Love you. And see you in a fortnight. Peace out.